Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The knees hurt me.
I'm your huckleberry.
What do you see? We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everyday Ashcast for the week of October 31st, 2016. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hello.
And, yeah, we're back from various reasons for being off, but, like, airplane sickness and conventions and other things, but, yep.
So life.
Yeah, life. So we're back. We got tons of stuff to catch up on, so let's dive right in. And as far as trailers go, we have not yet talked about the first trailer for Logan, so we're going to do that right now. Because that came out, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, let's keep it current.
Yes. We're great at our fingers on the pulse of pop culture. But yeah, first trailer for Logan came out. And... yeah, so the...
And they used her.
Yep.
You know, so you know
it's serious. And, yeah, the last time Hugh Jackman is going to be Wolverine in the X-Men universe.
Allegedly.
Well, I mean, at this point, it will just be keep being old man Logan.
Well, not necessarily. I'll give you my thoughts on that in a few minutes. So the trailer...
Mm-hmm. It looks good.
Looks fan.
Looks interesting. Yeah, like it's gonna. Looks
it's,
like
it's better than I thought it would be.
Looks like it's gonna be an action packed but emotional journey.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
It's really weird to see like Patrick Stewart like really like
old
weak like that. Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want to see that. Like, it's very sad. But a lot of really cool concepts that I want to see.
How is Professor X still alive, but no one else is?
He keeps throwing his students in the way, just like, die for me, children. Like, it really fucked up, but that's probably what he did for a while. Or a lot of X-Men sacrifice themselves so he can get away.
Save
your allegiance.
Save me, my X-Men. Give me your life essence.
Could be. It'd be fucked up for him to reveal that at the end, where it's like, it's like, Professor, how'd you make this so far?
Are we still,
loyalty.
Did Days of Future Past wipe out the like X3 credit scene where like Professor X can like jump into different bodies?
Like Jason and Jason goes to hell.
He's a Professor X worm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just gonna call up Jean Grey's snatch real quick and figure out what comes next. Yeah, I think they kind of, like, they didn't retcon it, but they were just kind of like, do-do-do-do-do, and never said a goddamn thing about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's probably for the better, honestly. It's like, where were they going to go with that? You know, like, I'm over here, now I'm over here.
And this probably won't fit. It's probably not going to fit in any timeline. Like, it's not going to, like, because the X-Men movie timeline is just beyond.
It's
beyond,
all
beyond
sorts
fucked
of fuckery.
Up.
And another thing is they probably need to explain that this has no bearing on, like, anything that they fixed from the last movie. So it's like, oh, it's a spinoff or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I still haven't seen Apocalypse, so.
That's fine.
I don't even know what the fuck I'm in for.
I still suggest you do see it because it's like cheesy enough that it works.
I'm gonna see it. I'm just saying I still like haven't gotten around to giving enough of a shit to see it.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. It's just it's so meh. It's just like
yeah.
It's just
yeah.
Like every like
I liked it more than meh. It's one of those movies where if you stare at it longer, it gets getting crazier.
Like a meh plus.
But yeah. but here's the thing: Wolverine movies are not supposed to be that because a lot of the other X-Men movies have been fluffed to get to Wolverine, but this movie is like, okay, if it's a Wolverine focus movie, they always go off the rails of like wonky, because like I know the Wolverine was a movie that like was a lot of Wolverine, and that didn't work out too much either, because then it was like, yeah, well, I really kind of don't like the universe.
Well, the Wolverine was better than Origins, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's getting better.
The Wolverine
better.
Is, like, one of the best X-Men movies, which is not saying much.
Right, but I'm saying, like, in the sense of, like, if you look at the crazy plan that the Japanese guy wanted to do and everything, yep. like, his enemy, like, wacky as fuck. Then, of course, they wiped out that movie with Apocalypse, right? Or, like, Days of Future Past, they kind of, like, retconned that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that movie didn't happen at that point. Now they're going to do Old Man Wolverine, where you know, like, it's a franchise ending thing where like most of the X-Men are dead or in hiding, you know, and this Wolverine is the last one who's like still able to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, you just established all these characters. And it's like, well, this obviously has to be like another tale or like a side story that's definitely gonna get retconned again. So the stakes aren't as high, but emotionally it's gonna be like a really depressing story. You know, like I'm looking forward to that, where it's like a dark tale, where like at the end it's not gonna be like this beautiful like everyone was saved, you know, or like all is forgiven.
Wolverine did it. God bless us, every one of us.
They're gonna have some sort of like weapon that can kill Wolverine, and he's gonna like sacrifice himself for like X-23.
I'm trying to think like what besides like. Being older is going to affect him. Like, a lot of things could kill Wolverine, surprisingly.
Because then they have, like, an adamantium bullet, and then only give him, like, amnesia.
I'm saying, like, yeah, it's like, all you gotta do really is attach his head from his body.
Yeah.
Not easy to do, but...
Pour liquid adamantium onto him.
Yeah, the null thing was just doing that.
Which clearly did not kill him. it's most like this Blade cop out in comic history, which is like, he's dead.
Yeah, he was like a pile of dust. It was just like, well, he now is a statue.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
So I think this is how they get... I think this is how they get Wolverine into the Marvel Universe. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just saying. This is how they're probably going to do it. This is going to be obviously the last of the Fox X-Men movies. They probably see what happened with Spider-Man and see how everybody was like super duper into it. They see that it could be mutually beneficial, and then they'll probably reintroduce him, and they'll probably recast everybody except Professor X and or Wolverine, and kind of be a nod to the things that have come before and all that good stuff. So we'll see, unless they just bring in Wolverine himself, where it's like, oh, how the fuck did I get here? Or like, oh, it's you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as long as Hugh Jackman is physically able to pull off Wolverine, which he is, I think as long as he's physically able to do that and the stories aren't stale, in other words, meaning now that Wolverine has been introduced into, you know, the Avengers verse and can interact with Captain America and all that good stuff, I think as long as there's a reason for him to come back, he will come back.
Well, hopefully he comes back for Deadpool 2, just as like, at least just like a cameo or something, because you gotta have him show up in that, just based on all the jokes they made in the first one.
Well, that's a problem now too, because that movie seems like it's falling apart a little bit. Like, I'm not sure I'm just saying, like, now that you brought it up, like, I don't know that that's even going to be a possibility now. Dun, 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 dun.
But yeah, so Logan is, I believe it's May next year. Let me just jump in, check out. I think they're doing the same thing they did with like Apocalypse this year, where it's like, huge, like the big Marvel movie. Oh no, it's March. Okay, so that's gonna be like Fast and Furious style.
Yeah.
So we also got a little more current today when we're recording this. We got is the first trailer like the first full trailer or like the I guess it's the first full trailer for Wonder Woman after the San Diego Comic-Con trailer.
Yeah, that looks pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it still looks as dope as that first Comic-Con trailer, so. Although, I thought there's a little slightly less badassery in this trailer, I thought. Like, it wasn't like that, because that Comic-Con trailer was just like all just like Wonder Woman busting fools. And, like,
well, it had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be, because, you know, they still had some shit in their mouths from Batman vs. Superman. Mm-hmm. So they kind of had, look, we can make a cool-looking movie. Look, 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 we could really do it. But then the other thing, too, is they had to kind of, like, establish Wonder Woman's dominance, just, like, in general. You know what I mean? Just so they could be like, look at how fucking badass this movie looks, and get everybody excited for it. So that now, when a trailer like this comes out, that could be like, by the way, this is what the fuck is actually happening in the
movie. Here's the actual plot of the movie.
Yeah. By the way, this movie does have a plot. It's not just a montage of, like, Wonder Woman, like, kicking the shit out of people.
It's not a looped gif of, like, Wonder Woman breaking a rifle over her back.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it definitely looks awesome. Like the World War One era is a cool setting.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah, especially after playing Battlefield 1 single player and stuff. Like, let's get her fighting some Ottomans. But yeah, just like action wise, just like that scene of her like breaking into like whatever like a German building and just like destroying all of them, like, still looks amazing. And like that scene of her coming out of the trench is gonna be like the like that's gonna be the highlight of the movie already. Yeah. Just based on these trailers, and especially like in this one where it's like they kind of like they showed like more of the beginning of that where like she's like seeing a bullet come at her and she's like kind of like worried for like a second, and then she sees it bounce off her bracelet and she's just like, oh yeah, right.
I got this.
The goddamn Wonder Woman, like,
yeah.
She bounces, then it's like 10 seconds later, like bouncing like an artillery shell off her shield.
Yeah.
Another thing is, there's no like monster she's fighting, right? She's just fighting like
humans, Chris.
I think because there's a like, right at the end, there's like she's like getting zapped by like electricity or something. Like, it looks like there's some sort of like other something like attacking her or like something crazy happening. So, like, I think a lot of people are thinking like Ares might like they might be hiding Ares, like maybe that might be like reveal at the end of the movie. Third act villain is like Ares, who's like getting fueled by like this war to end all wars.
Yeah, that could be pretty sweet. I mean, they have like a fucking 100 years of shit to do with mm-hmm. Wonder Woman before Superman or Batman are in the picture.
Yeah.
Before she learned how to, like, write really weird emails to Bruce.
Before she learned to hack databases and watch yeah. Preview trailers.
It's you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we did on this trailer too that it's gonna be like modern day, like, bookends, it seems like. Because she's, like, going to, like, the Louvre in, like, the modern day. This is gonna be like her, like, flashing back to like World War One.
Oh, so it's gonna be like her, like, vacations, and then her flashing back in a memory.
Yeah. And then Batman will probably show up at the end of the movie and be like, "All right,
having fun at the museum. All right, we gotta go train.
Time to form this league."
What does she do, like, for a cover in modern-day Wonder Woman? Like, she's not a reporter? Or was she a reporter in the original TV show?
No. I don't know what, like, Diana
Prince. She had a day job. I remember she had a day job, which is, like, what is her day job in modern-day Justice League?
Socialite. Lady about town.
The way she's, like, carrying herself, I was like, well, she got invited to Lex's party, so she must know something about business.
Oh, apparently she's, like, she a businesswoman? I don't know. Like, just
good at business.
She probably just, like, they probably just sent, like, Themyscira probably just sends her just, like, gold. And she's, like, just, like, do whatever. Just, like, how much gold?
Go to all the fanciest parties, Diana. Yeah.
No, wait, in this version, she doesn't talk to her father, right? Like, she can't communicate to Zeus.
We don't know who her father is.
Oh, we don't know yet?
No.
Okay.
She's just raised by Amazons, on this island of Amazons.
That's another thing. Are they doing...
We don't know what, like, origin version... Like, if she was, like,
made of clay. There's one version. Like... Yeah, she made of clay, or is she, like, a human, like, a humanoid goddess that, like, you know, is from, Zeus. Yeah. And just like, yep. Or, like, puts him on the island because he's like, go play. Like, and, like, that's it. That's all he does is have kids.
Zeus just transforms the animals and makes babies. That's all he does in Greek mythology.
Seems
right. But, like,
in I think they're probably going to leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Just because they probably want to keep, like, actual Greek mythology out of it, you know what I mean? Although they did have a lot of, like, god mythology alluded to by Lex Luthor, so who knows? Zack Snyder might have, like, a super hard-on for that. You know, I'm not totally sure, but if I had to put money on it, I would say they're not going to do the clay thing, but they're probably going to shy away from the Zeus thing, too. Like, they might allude to it, but I don't think they're going to be like, I'm the daughter of Zeus. Down the street.
Yeah, they'll probably like be vague for this movie, and then maybe like, a sequel.
Do you know
or
who my
or something.
Fucking father is? Yeah.
she used to bring that up, but not like in that tone. But she's like, "I'm the daughter of Zeus, so how dare you tell me no?" Like it's good shit to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, based on these two trailers, like this movie should be. Hopefully awesome. And hopefully critically and commercially successful this time.
Yeah, I hope so.
And
but it looks like it's going to be great. I mean, it looks like it's setting us up for that sort of Captain America, the first Avenger type flick. They're even saying, like, she was first. I'm like, guys, Jesus Christ. Like, that is so close to Marvel's marketing. Like, what's wrong with you?
The first leaguer.
Yeah.
What the was like the tagline for Avengers where it's like Avenge where it's like or like the Captain America one where it's like the first Avenger was on the shield or something or was it like?
It was Captain America the first Avenger was the name of the movie, but yeah.
No, but I'm saying like the poster was like it was saying like something like ballsy like that where it's like to be like leading the it was something so bad as a tagline they got rid of it. But yeah, I can't wait for the Wonder Woman thing where it's kind of like for justice. It's just like what?
Justice starts here.
Let alone her colors somehow magically are the colors of like the American flag, but technically she's not from America, so it's even weird for that too.
Well, I mean, Superman's are too, but he's not.
He landed in America. At least.
I know, but he's not like you know fucking. I don't know. I think it just happened to be blue and red.
Because it looks cool. But
yeah. Although the original Wonder Woman comic book character, that for sure is based on, you know, trying to look patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know?
She just
like,
stars
they don't even explain where the fuck she comes from in the first Wonder Woman comics. You know, they're not like, by the way, I come from here. They're just like, hey, look at this fancy broad. You know? Bullets don't work on her. Try slapping her. Nothing.
She's got an American flag.
Yeah.
She's wearing the flag.
I think she's going to try to vote. Someone stop her.
So, yeah. So, Wonder Woman is out on June 2nd next summer. So definitely keep an eye out for that one.
Happy birthday to Joe.
And we also got a new trailer for Office Christmas Party, which is going to be possibly the big comedy for December. And it's got everybody in it.
Literally.
Yes.
Did I see Tim Meadows in that?
Maybe. Probably.
I'm sure I did.
Well, the main trio is Jason Bateman, TJ Miller, and Olivia Munn.
Tremendous.
And their whatever business, like their branch of whatever business is that they work for is failing. And so they need to land this one, like, they have, like, a big client they could possibly land, so they basically invite him back to their Christmas party, and they just throw, like, the rager of all rager office Christmas parties.
That's what a good company should do.
Yes. That's a viable strategy. And then, like, Yeah, like, then it's basically like the entire city of Chicago gets invited to this Christmas party.
And then all heck breaks loose.
Yeah. As
heck,
every,
I say heck.
It's every movie party ever.
Every movie party, yeah. I feel like it's like mixed with Project X and that level of like crazy where like an innocent party just gets ramped up.
Yeah, it's like Horrible Bosses mixed with like Project X mixed with like Harold Kumar Christmas. Like it's like every movie combined.
Well, it's a safe comedy because you know it's going to be like funny, you know, like it's going to be like stupid funny.
Yeah. Well, except the only thing is like we've had two huge, well, kind of like seem or that could potentially be huge, like ensemble comedies the last couple months, and they both failed horribly. Like Keeping Up with the Joneses was like one of the worst openings of all time.
Really? I didn't
yes.
know that.
Like it's in like it's like top 10 like of movies opened over 3,000 theaters. Like it's like 10.
Well, because like the marketing was like the problem with Keeping the Joneses is it had terrible marketing. It was just like let's tell you all the punchlines now, mm-hmm. and then you watch it, and they're like, "Wow, I you saw the whole movie already."
And then also Masterminds failed horribly. So I don't know, maybe it's just Zach Galifianakis, but
yeah, I think it's Zach Galifianakis. Like people just don't want to laugh at him right now.
I wanted to see Keeping Up with the Joneses, but then it just kind of vanished. I don't know what happened.
It got swallowed up on Mia.
They wanted that John Hamm money.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, I was like, oh, we should go see that. And I'm like, there are no showtimes.
Yeah, because
where has it gone?
Because it made no money.
We went to show Ouija. Remember when we saw Ouija, and we did not see any posters for it in the Alamo Drafthouse? So mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. we're just going to see one movie then.
Yeah, I think it's only made, like, $10 million for, like, its 2 weeks out. And it was like, it's like number 7 in its second week. But yeah, so I mean, but yeah, maybe it was just Zach Galifianakis. Like maybe Oscar's party will be like a gigantic hit. I think it might be like the only really big like R-rated comedy for December. So.
I feel like comedy movies comes every other year, you know. Like there's a good trend where.
Well, there, I mean, last year, like there was Sisters, the counter program against Star Wars, but.
Right, but before Sisters was also like Last Christmas or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I'm saying like it comes in waves where it's like okay.
Oh,
this
oh, yeah,
year
oh,
like
there's also Why Him coming out, the Bryan Cranston versus James Franco movie.
That I want nothing to do with.
Yeah, I forgot that movie. It's like, oh yeah, that's
that
a thing.
Looks, I don't even know what they're doing.
It just seems like James Franco had a lot of free time and made this movie. And he couldn't get Seth Rogen in it.
And it seems like Bryan Cranston was like, yes, I want to be in a movie. Of course.
I remember comedy.
Yeah. I know how to laugh. Ha.
But yeah, Office Christmas Party is out on December 9th, so definitely you can... it's about a month away, so get ready for that one. Also in December, we got another Blumhouse horror movie coming, Incarnate. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for this one, but this one looks like it's either going to be interesting or like hilariously terrible.
Those are very big extremes.
Yeah. Because this movie is basically, so Aaron Eckhart is a, like, some sort of scientist. I don't know. Demon scientist, I don't know. And he's in a wheelchair.
Okay. Good start.
Yeah. And he has developed a way to basically, he basically has an inception machine. So he can, like, go into people's minds that are possessed by demons and fight demons in the bind.
Well, of course.
And then... little Bruce Wayne from Gotham has a demon in him, and so he like
already don't want to see it.
And then Aaron Rucker has to go into his mind and like fight the demon.
See, I don't mind little Bruce Wayne, but like the last horror movie he was in did terrible too. The one with the Native Americans,
The Darkness.
You also don't want Gotham, so doesn't that have a lot to do with why you don't hate him?
Yeah. up until they said that there's a second evil Bruce Wayne running around Gotham, and I was like, what? Did you get that far in Gotham yet, Joe?
Yeah, I'm suffering through it, you guys.
So wait, is he the same actor, or is he just like another boy?
Nope, he's the same actor with a wig.
And also for Incarnate, Aaron Eckhart looks like Christopher Lambert. Like he's like Christopher Lambert, like Highlander hair.
Nice.
Oh boy.
So you know he's a loose cannon.
And then you find out, like, according to the plot description, like, you find out that, like, this demon that's in Little Bruce Wayne is also the demon that killed Aaron Eckhart's wife. So it's like, he's getting revenge on this demon.
By beating up Little Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Fuck up this demon.
And then also Melisandre from Game of Thrones is there, is, like, Aaron Eckhart's, like, assistant or something.
What? Why is she there, like, as an assistant? Like, okay. Alright, whatever.
Yeah, it's like this movie is gonna be either like so terrible it's good or like mildly interesting, like because like it's definitely like a slightly different take on like exorcism demon movies, but then like just Aaron Eckhart, like the concept and like Aaron Eckhart, the way Aaron Eckhart looks and like how like grimly serious it is, like it's gonna be I'm gonna lean toward more toward it being like hilariously insane. Like a How to Skip Maine movie.
Oh, like years from now, people look back and be like, wow, this is a fucking gamble in a studio.
You guys remember that movie where, like, Aaron Eckhart and set the demons?
What, a demon machine that he's... Did they explain why he's handicapped, or is it just like...
Demons, Chris. Demons.
Don't come in, I'm building a demon machine. Don't want anyone to see it.
The only place we can fight the demons is in the mind.
All right.
But that's going to be a December release as well, because everyone loves demons around Christmas time, so...
Yeah, nothing says...
the holidays, like...
Christmas magic. Like, demons and young superheroes.
Mm-hmm. And then the last big trailer for this week is... we got the second trailer for XXX Return of Xander Cage.
Ooh.
Which looks... Ooh. Like, that movie looks fucking insane. Like it's not made... They didn't film it with, like, cameras. They filmed it with, like, monster energy cans. it was just formed out of... Like, this poured monster energy in the ground this movie formed.
Well, like, it's every repressed...
It's so just, like, extreme.
Terrible.
It's just, like, so extreme with, like, a capital X dash extreme... Like,
I feel like it was filmed at like a Red Bull like stunt show, you know, when they do those crazy things where it's like, let's take a bunch of like BMXers and shit and do things. Like, it feels like
featuring that Nitro all circus. Together.
Yeah, it's like all these repressed shit from like the late early 2000s where people missed. It's like, remember like motocrossing? Like, they just brought it all back.
I remember motocross.
But now with, like, the sensibilities of, like, Fast and Furious, where it's, like...
Oh, it's, like, physics-defying bullshit.
Yeah, like, everyone's superheroes, like, no one gets hurt, like, it's all just, like, insane, it's all insanity, and, like, Vin Diesel has a team. Because he has a team now, he has to have a family.
Family. We're not friends, we're exes.
And then in XXX3 here, Donnie Yen is leading like this like quartet of like it's like a Chinese boy band or something. they stole some sort of device that lets them take over every military satellite in the world.
Naturally,
so they have to get Xander Cage out of retirement to like stop them.
But Donnie Yen,
yeah,
okay.
Tony Jaa's there. I can't tell if Tony Jaa is like one of Donnie Yen's henchmen, or if he's just, like, somewhere there.
he's just a random Asian guy that they just wandered into this fight.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just, like, Vin Diesel's just, like, skiing down a jungle mountain that doesn't have snow, but he's on skis for some reason, and, like, he's running a motorcycle into the ocean, and then under the ocean.
Across it.
and then the motorcycle just, like, has, like, a ski, like a water ski on the front of it that, like, deploys. And then just like skateboarding down a mountain and stuff, and it's just like.
And then hot girls with guns for no reason.
He's got a hot sniper. So
basically,
he's
sounds like a
tech person. He's got a hot.
It sounds like a cereal commercial from the 1990s.
It's just someone turned a Surge commercial into like a movie.
Surge.
And then one of them becomes fucking Capri Sun liquid blob, and then fucking flies around.
I remember Capri Sun liquid blob.
I still don't see Ice Cube though. I keep hoping for like Ice Cube's gonna show up and be like,
"Bow down."
I'm the other Triple X. You need some help? And he's like, "Nah, I got this."
We family though. Triple X family.
Yeah, are we getting Triple X and Fast and Furious next year?
I think we might.
Like, Furious 8 is coming?
I mean, sure.
Like Dom Takes Manhattan?
Can you imagine? I mean, it is going to be in New York, yeah. So it is Dom Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, Fast...
B-R-B, I gotta take Manhattan.
Yeah, we're getting double Vin Diesel next year, so that's going to be...
Ew.
That's going to be amazing. And Triple X 3 is January, so that's kicking off 2017.
Fuck.
On the right foot. So.
It's in a few weeks.
Yeah. So that's it for trailers this week. So I want to get into other news. And some pretty big news about Starship Troopers. That's getting rebooted, as well as like everything else ever made.
Yeah.
But apparently this new version is going to be closer to the like original novel. Robert Heinlein novel. But then they have like the guys who wrote the Baywatch reboot writing it. So that kind of seems like a like contradiction of like, because like the original novel is like this like almost boringly serious like discussion of like war and the nature of war and stuff, and then you got the guys who are writing the Baywatch remake to write it. And, they said they're gonna try to make it different from the, Paul Verhoeven classic.
They try.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go, like, kind of, like, more serious, I guess. That's the only way to, like, differentiate it from the Paul Verhoeven movie.
Oh, that's the thing. The original works so well as, like, you're throwing... It's a human versus bug thing, and it's, like...
Yeah.
The book is not funny. The book is very serious and very,
yeah.
Like,
it's just,
dark.
It's just entire chapters of, like, describing, like... This is
the mentality.
This is why war is bad. Like...
It's a very anti-war book.
Should we be here? What are we doing?
Yeah, questions, like... A lot. I heard like in military reading, they sometimes recommend it for like soldiers to read, and just like, whoa, it's like if you read that, you don't want to go to the war, you don't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's also misinterpreted, and then the movie is like a good parody of the book, and it's like yes, and they never got back to the first movie. You know, like they tried three or four times, and it just never got back to that.
Three times in like a cartoon, just like.
The cartoon makes no goddamn sense, and no. The cartoon is like very unwatchable these days.
Yeah, because it's like Beast Wars like reboot style, or it's like that like,
but it's like
90s
a
CG.
Very, yeah, it's like 90s CG, but all dark space. It's very like you can't tell characters apart.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know who's talking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think give it a shot. You know, I don't mind Starship Troopers. It's a stupid movie. I don't mind it.
Yes. This is pretty by high bar to try to avoid like the Starship Troopers movie, like first Starship Troopers movie, because it's like, yeah, it's a
comedy action movie or action
comedy action satire, like,
yeah, it's like, well, it's like reverse 21 Jump Street. Like if they make this movie, like do they make it super serious, like a goddamn Save It Private Ryan with like bugs?
Yeah.
They might.
That's like the only direction they can go. Especially if they're like, if they're saying that like they want to be closer to the book.
Yeah, they're gonna hire actual like Filipino people or whatever they were from.
Yeah,
like Hispanics, like Venice, or I forgot what, where they were. They weren't like from America.
Well, I mean, the character in the book is still Johnny Rico, but yeah, like he's definitely like I think it's still like Buenos Aires, but he's actually like someone who would be from Buenos Aires, not Casper Van Dien.
Casper Van Dien.
Which I think there was a joke about like I think that was like Paul Verhoeven being like, what if they're all descendants of like Nazis? It's funny.
Oh my god.
I think that's pretty much what it was. It's like, what if, like, because, like, the entire, like, society of troopers is, like, Nazis.
Well, no, all the military branches got very Nazi level.
Yeah.
But, like, if you were a citizen or whatever, it's, like, a distinction. Because that was another thing. It's like, what to be, like, not a civilian and you're actually, like, active.
But yeah, but, I mean, there's the whole thing of, like Nazi war criminals escaping to South America after the war. So, like...
Oh, that too.
Yeah,
you kind of lose that once you're fighting against bugs.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what happens there. But yeah, they got to start coming up with their own ideas. We're running out of things to reboot.
Yep.
So, other news, kind of a pretty big addition to the Arrowverse, we're finally getting adult Talia al Ghul, because last year we got a, like, 5-year-old Talia in Legends of Tomorrow, when they went back to, like, the 60s.
Didn't care.
no one really cared.
Didn't even watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, there will be a Talia like interacting with everybody.
Oh, good! Another character to ruin from the Batman universe.
Yeah. Lex,
that's what I wanted. I hope it comes just in time for Christmas. Oh boy,
it will.
Yes, good.
The 10th episode of season 5.
Oh.
She shows up. She's pregnant with Damian's. Like, who's the father?
It's not even going to be Damian Wayne. It's going to be Damian Queen.
Yeah.
They're just gonna, like, fucking bite it off.
Well, Oliver didn't have any didn't have any interaction with Talia. Like, the only person
who knows, they might have a weird flashback.
Well, yeah, really. The only person, the eighth time I was on the island,
yeah,
he came by and brought me lemonade one time.
I fell in love with that too. Like, everyone falls in love with
him. Fucked him. Fucked everyone. Was it on the island? Yes. Then I probably fucked it.
You know, they're waiting for one more goddamn reason for him and his sister.
Yeah.
I called it first season where I was like, "There, something's not right about the relationship." And then it was like, ugh, it keeps getting worse from worse.
You know, I will say this current season of Arrow did kind of, like, I am enjoying it. Like, it pulled itself out of the tailspin that was last season.
Oh, stop.
Like, I would put, as far as, like, the CW shows, I would go Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, Legends right now.
Mm-hmm.
Still with Dolph Lundgren, though. Like, where's Dolph? That should be a hashtag.
He's coming. They just released the picture of him today.
It seems like he'll be out maybe, like, next episode or, like, a couple, like, maybe, like, 1 or 2 weeks here. But hashtag where's Dolph? Yeah, like that's an improvement. Like, the flashbacks are actually, like, relevant. They're not just like make me want to, like, gouge my eyes out.
Right.
Like, they had a decent, like, starting villain. They had a human target.
I'm familiar with the show.
But yeah, so yes, Talia's coming up. Lexa Doig, or I don't know how you say her last name, but she was in Continuum and Stargate SG-1 4400 is going to be Talia. So had to see how that works out in a couple weeks here. And some pretty major rescheduling over at Sony. They moved a bunch of stuff around today. So Dark Tower, which is going to come out in February next year, got bumped back to summer next year.
Makes more sense.
They
want it to be a huge movie.
Yeah, they're gonna finalize the effects, because it seemed like they were saying like it wouldn't have looked as good as they wanted it to be in February. So they're gonna work on the effects and make it a big summer release.
We had to tell Matthew McConaughey to put on some weight.
And so that bumps Jumanji back. Jumanji is gonna be a Christmas movie next year now, December 22nd.
There's so many details about that movie. It's coming out soon, and I'm like, I have no idea who the hell's in
Nobody
it.
Nobody does.
Wait, why they're in it.
Well, you gotta follow The Rock's Instagram feed. That's the only place you're gonna learn anything about Jumanji.
All I saw him recently was a giant Pikachu, and I was like, well, this is insane.
It's for his daughter.
I know, but I was like, I still don't know anything about
Jumanji. What's happening?
I think
he's just yelling at a baby dressed like a Pikachu. Ah, you baby. The Rock.
And then some other stuff. The Flatliners reboot, which is a thing.
It's getting flatlined.
Yeah. Well, it was going to come out in August, and now it's coming out in September next year.
Flatliners never became a franchise because it was like a very weird series. Was it just like one book or something?
Was it based on a book? I don't know.
It had to be.
Oh, and then Equalizer 2 is also bumped up to September 14th. It got bumped back to September 14th, 2018. So that's out of 2017. So,
I don't mind it. Equalizer, I can wait. Wasn't like a I have to go see this. Not like Two Guns. Why don't they make it Two Guns too?
two Guns, Two Furious.
Two Guns, Too Many.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is like that Dark Tower move is like the main big move from this shuffling. It'll give everyone time to read the book before they go see the movie. Or the book. I don't know how far they're gonna go, but there's like seven books, so I think that's only based on the first book.
Well, to play it smart, they have to like get the first movie based on the first novel. Like, don't, you know, if they're doing the Lord of the Rings format where, like, they'll test the waters before they invest in, like, seven movies.
So, other news. There's going to be a movie coming up that's going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan in the same movie.
Yeah, call it
coming out in the United States.
Probably. Yeah, is this a movie coming out in English?
Maybe.
We don't know.
It's called V2. It's V2. It's a Russian Chinese fantasy adventure.
Yeah, nope, not coming out.
It's
here.
A sequel to a movie called Journey to China: The Iron Mask Mystery. Oh no, this is gonna be the American name for this movie is Journey to China: The Iron Mask Mystery.
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger the Iron Mask?
Maybe.
He's China.
Is Jackie Chan Journey 2? I'm just trying to fucking look the clues for what the hell this is about. Wait, is this part of the Journey series where it's like Journey 1, Journey 2?
It's apparently like the first movie was like a gigantic like hit in Russia. This is a sequel to that movie.
Is it a sequel to a Russian movie?
There was a Russian movie. With like English actors in it, so I don't know what the hell is going on. but it's like this. There's this English guy named Jonathan Green who is somehow like in the court of like Peter the Great, and he has to like go create a map of like the Far East. That's the plot of the movie, and then he's gonna run into apparently Arnold and Jackie Chan and other people.
Oh, it's not like a buddy comedy. It's like they're just in this movie.
Yeah, I think they're just in it. They probably won't even share like a scene together, but they're both gonna be in it.
Well, because I'm like, because remember Journey Around the World in 180 Days? Like Arnold was in it, Jackie Chan was in it, and it's like that was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
That was like pre-Governor Arnold too, so he was like still in fucking shape. I was that again, the same exact thing where it's like, "Hello, I am Arnold."
Yep.
And like, well, goodbye.
But yeah, who knows if this will even show up in America? So.
I read that as like bigger deal.
Yeah, it's not like Expendables 4. Like, so some TV news from the past week or so. From Dusk Till Dawn, a series might be done. It just wrapped up the third season this past Tuesday, but apparently the contracts for all the actors are going to be up in like a week, and El Rey is not renewed anything. So,
well, they don't. What else is on El Rey? Besides Luchador
Underground, son.
Old martial arts movies and like Rodriguez movies.
Vaguely Spanish things.
Yeah. Because I think their only other like original show got canceled, like Matador, which is like a...
How do you have a show get canceled on a network with two shows?
Yeah. I don't know, but... I think that show is about a soccer player who was also a secret agent.
Oh, well, maybe that's... Okay, never mind. Now it's...
Well, it's either the show about Mexican vampires or Mexican soccer agents.
Yeah. But yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn was actually, like, way better than it should have been.
Than expected.
Like...
First season is amazing. Yeah. Like, for what it was and what I thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. way better. I still haven't seen the second or third season, but... I'm like, I think three seasons is good enough for what people thought it'd be.
Like, I saw the season finale. It definitely felt like it could have, like, the way it kind of, like, wrapped up. Like, they were kind of wrapped up, like, the main, like, evil force. And so it's like, it could just end there and it'd be fine, probably, but.
Well, it's like, you know, the Gecko brothers and their vampire friends take on the mummy. Like, boogie boogie.
Well, actually, like, this third season was kind of like, I don't know, like, it was much more, like, episodic than, like, the last couple seasons, like, because it was, like, they had, like, a monster of the week for, like the first half, or just, like, this, like, a random, like, Mexican monster would just show up and they had to fight it.
Why? Like, you know,
because there was, like,
I'm the Chupacabra. I'm the Super Chupacabra.
Yeah.
I'm the Luchador Super Chupacabra.
Yeah. there was, like, an evil, like, demon queen who was, like, sending things after them.
Of course.
Naturally. Which happens in Mexico, because there's a queen, something. Even though they have their queen.
Known.
I wonder if it was, like, a reaction to the second season, because the second season was good, but, like, it really got, like, kind of convoluted with, like, there was, like, a bunch of, like, triple crosses and, like, a bunch of, like, people, like, switching sides all the time, so it was, like, it got a little bit too complicated the second season, but then, so this third season was, like, and it's, like, everybody versus this one person.
See, that was the first season. That, no. It was like a very comprehensible like first season where
the last third, and then it like kind of like went off the rails to something. And like the last when they got to the titty twister, like it went off, it became its own thing.
Yeah, yeah, which I didn't mind.
Well, up to that point, like it was the movie just drawn out. But yeah, I would say definitely check it out. Like, this third season will be on Netflix at some point because the first two seasons are. So definitely check out the whole show when that happens, and then it's probably done. But it's other TV news. Pain Dreadful is going to continue as a comic series. I don't know if it's going to. I think it's going to be similar to like how Buffy and like Angel and Firefly continue as like season whatever comic. So this will be like season 4 of Pain Dreadful in comic form.
Like, who else are they gonna go based on? Like, the younger years, Josh Hartnett. of like a Western cowboy werewolf man.
Well, instead of like Dr. Jekyll didn't do anything with him, so maybe they'll do something with like with him. Or, like
maybe again, maybe they'll actually
they've hinted at the mummy for like three like since the beginning of the show. Like they hinted at the mummy, and just never showed up.
Well, maybe they'll actually form their own League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah. You know, in the comic series, because that'd be kind of cool.
Like Alan Quartermain, Timothy Dalton is basically Alan Quartermain, so
right. No. See, like I mean, like just continue.
Invisible Man will show up.
Like, they'll just keep picking up like
yeah.
other creatures and characters to hang out with and mm-hmm. hunt with.
I think is it. I'm trying to think, see find who is putting it out. I think IDW is putting it out, but. Let me see if I can find it here. I think there was a side kind of like side story comic going on for like along with the, like this most recent season. But it was side things to what was actually currently happening. But this is gonna be like moving forward from the end of season 3. And oh yeah, it's gonna be Titan Comics. I don't know what else Titan Comics does. But yeah, that's coming early next year, so keep an eye out for that. And then another new show got some more episodes. So we had Lethal Weapon getting expanded a couple weeks ago. Now Timeless is getting more episodes over at NBC.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Timeless. Have you? Any of you guys?
It's fun. Like it reminds me of like Sliders or something, where it's like this like what crazy scenario are they gonna be in this week? Because it's just like what time period are they gonna be in this week? That's basically the entire draw of the show. And then how are they gonna fuck up time?
Yeah, I'm timed out. I did the 11:22:63. You know, I'm done. I'm done with time for a little bit.
Well, I think there's there's at least three, it might be four time travel shows on right now.
Like I said.
Timeless, Done Frequency, time. Legend of Tomorrow. I think this might be something else, but
yeah, just
but yeah, Timeless is fine, I would say check it out. It's they go to like it's like we're going to the Alamo. We're going to like the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. We're going to the Hindenburg. It's like
to the Hinden, Peter. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on, we got some pretty big Stallone related news over the last week or so. So first up, Escape Plan is apparently getting a sequel.
Oh. Okay, you surprised me with that.
We'll get the bigger story in a second here, but yeah, Escape Plan 2 got announced, and apparently Stallone was signed on to star. We don't know; it doesn't seem like Arnold's attached at this point, but
he escaped from the movie.
I was gonna say we should hope that. You know, he just kind of keeps teaming up with other, like, A-level action stars. So, like, the first one is obviously him and Arnold, then it's going to be, like, him and, like,
Van Damme.
Van Damme, him and Seagal, him and Wesley Snipes, just, mm-hmm. like, all these people.
In an even crazier prison.
Yeah.
This is the most... You thought that last prison was inescapable? This one's totally inescapable. Until it's escapable.
We put the prison from the first movie in. Inside this prison.
Jim Caviezel survived his fire explosion. It's now like he's actually the cyborg. Prison.
Yeah.
He's actually like a Terminator now.
That'd be cool.
It's like Arkham City. They just throw Stallone in like a walled off city.
A walled off wall.
Yeah,
city.
That might happen, guys. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
That might take place.
But yeah, the bigger Stallone news, except the news is that, like, is Stallone, like, minus Stallone. So apparently New Image / Millennium are moving forward with a Rambo reboot without Stallone. So they're going to get a new Rambo, new story, totally reboot Rambo.
Okay. Can I say one really quick thing?
Yep.
I feel like we can do something to stop this. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, it is funny, but, like, I feel like we need to start a petition. I don't care if it has to go on whitehouse.gov. Like, we need to start some sort of movement to get this to not happen. And it's not out of disrespect for Rambo or Sylvester Stallone. It's out of respect for both of those things. There doesn't need to be a rebooted Rambo. If you have if it's going to be a new story and you have an idea for, like, a badass, like, war vet coming back and having to fuck shit up, just make that fucking movie, dude. Like, you don't have to call it Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's gone too far. It's gone too far. We let them do that to Freddy, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't do it again. I won't. Rambo's too close to my heart.
But yeah, this new movie is gonna be called Rambo New Blood, and they're like, Ariel Vroman is gonna be directing it, who directed the terrible movie Criminal this past year.
I do not remember Criminal.
It's the Kevin Costner has Ryan Reynolds inside his brain movie.
Oh, the, like, Ryan Reynolds is. It's like a theme where it's like two people are one.
People inject Ryan Reynolds into their brain.
Or, like, you know, basically Ryan Reynolds is sharing someone.
Yeah.
Like, he did that one last year. It was like
selfless. Selfless.
Yeah, just Ryan Reynolds in someone else's brain or someone else's in Ryan Reynolds.
But yeah, and Millennium is saying, like, they're looking at Rambo as, like, James Bond. So, like, they're just, they'll throw a new actor in there. or you can get different actors in to play Rambo.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not true at all.
Nope.
And weren't there more Rambo stories, apparently, or allegedly, in the works? There was,
The last few years we've heard about, like, at least three different stories. There was, like, way, way back, there was, like, Rambo fights, like, an alien creature movie,
right, and then it was like Rambo versus Predator, basically.
And then it was like he was gonna, like, fight the Mexican cartels, and, like, his he's gonna have a daughter or something. And then, like,
that's the one I really wanted to see.
Yeah,
honestly, because they were moving forward with that Rambo versus the Monster script, and just making it a different Stallone movie altogether. That's what happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, it was actually an example of a studio being smart. They're like, well, does this need to be Rambo, or can it just be another badass Stallone movie? They're like, I guess it could be another badass Stallone movie. Yeah,
because it was a book, and, like, Stallone bought the rights to the book, so they've been working on that for years. So.
What I'm saying, like, they were actually able to fucking, like, I don't know, pull their heads out of their collective asses.
Yeah.
But apparently not, because here we are now. Rambo New Blood. Wow.
Just
that's fucking gross.
since it is it seems like it is happening, like, is there anyone that, like, would be, like, even, like, reasonably acceptable as Rambo?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
besides Stallone.
No, then no.
Okay.
I mean, fuck. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe John Cena?
So just
I could see that.
The Marine again?
The Marine. Yeah,
but that's the problem. That's the thing, is that it's just the Marine all over again.
Yeah. The Rock?
Yeah, I guess that would be fine, but
The Rock is the only person that's, like, who, like, any sort of reboot, like, if you put The Rock in it, it's, like, mildly acceptable.
Yeah, I guess, but it's just so unnecessary.
Yeah. We'll definitely, we're gonna keep an eye on this one as it develops.
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just fucking, like,
ignore it.
Not to. Yeah.
Well, moving on to other news. Some pretty crazy news from Marvel Comics. Apparently, R.L. Stine is going to be writing in a Marvel like some sort of Marvel comic series.
I want that to play say, every time he enters the room at Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Every time he walks into a building, you just see him walking with a trench coat holding a briefcase.
Yep.
Here,
They didn't say it was going to be a Goosebumps comic, but it's got to be something along those lines, right? Like, that's what you hire R.L. Stine to do.
It's got to be spooky.
Yeah.
You can't hire R.L. Stine and then have him write like a love story
or like a superhero, like it's like R.L. Stine's writing new Spider-Man.
Turn Spider-Man into an actual spider. Maybe they're gonna have him turn into a werewolf. Oh no, never mind. They did that too. I don't know.
Well, the thing about R.L. Stine is that like he's really good at making like a childhood innocent be really fucking like terrible. So like there could be he could be like, a consultant to like write up a hero's like tragic background, or instead of like a chemical bath, like parents trick their kid into like ingesting it. You know what I mean? Like just something where like the twist is like they're terrible people all along.
He witnesses a murder. No, he is the murderer. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, 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 bum. What about he loses his uncle
to the violent mugging?
What if he is the uncle? Or what if he has a haunted doll in his attic? I feel like this is a Goosebumps story, RL. I'm not going to lie to you.
Have you guys ever read his adult book, Red Brain?
No, but I know he has them.
Definitely, I'm very aware of it. I haven't seen any.
I would definitely check out Red Brain because it's like R.L. Stine, it's like a decade of like repressed like things he couldn't put in Goosebumps. It's like there's like beheadings and like blood rings in the sky and like
hits on every page.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like one page is just a full drawing of him like drawing a stick figure with giant titties. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is how big they were, just so you know.
It's basically like it's like R.L. Stine has taken like Children of the Damned or whatever, like Village of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
It's like evil kids.
Fucking evil kids. Sexy evil kids.
But other news, this is some pretty major news from a couple weeks ago that we didn't get a chance to talk about, but Tim Miller left Deadpool 2 due to creative differences, which is a worrying sign. And then also, today, I believe Junkie XL left scoring Deadpool 2.
Oh no, what'll we do?
Well, the Deadpool soundtrack.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Junkie XL, but I mean Tim Miller, that's a pretty huge deal, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And he actually, so I think the week after that it got announced that he's going to be one of the main producers on the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Da, 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 da.
Which is gonna be a live action CG hybrid, apparently.
That's gonna be a wacky fucking spectacle.
Yep.
I don't even know what else to say.
It's gonna be like was it Sonic the Hedgehog, like the one from like 2008 that had like the princess in it and stuff that everyone hates?
Yeah, I guess.
Like it's gonna be that just people interacting with like CG Sonic and being like really weird. And like a lot of like uncomfortable furry overtones.
I still want to see Sonic kiss a human girl.
Yep. That's what happened in like that 2008 game, sure. Right?
Yeah. No one was happy about that except for me.
I fapped.
It's like all my Sonic fanfictions come to life.
It's real. Yeah, I mean, let's just see what happens like with some of the concepts before like we see them put there. Like Tim Miller gets comedy, but Sonic's supposed to be a comedy?
Yes.
Sonic these days is like, it doesn't know what it wants to be. Because, like, I don't mind Sonic Underground, it was, like, grittier, but then I also don't mind wacky Sonic with there's, like, a Mickey Mouse cartoon, or, like, a Bugs Bunny cartoon, basically.
Yeah, I prefer the latter.
Well, the best one was the... There was, like, three in the 90s, and that's, like, the second one was, like the Freedom Fighters and stuff. Like, that's...
That was Underground.
Yeah, that's still going on, like, the Archie comics.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another one where like him and his siblings teamed up.
Yeah, which is in their band, and it's fucking insane.
Okay, so back to Deadpool though, real quick. Fucking yeah. This is a terrible thing.
Yep,
this is a terrible thing. I read a great article on Forbes today though. Someone was making the case for this means that they should really try to like save face with the fans and try to cast Arnold Schwarzenegger as a Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would be just fucking over the moon excited for. But then the other thing that they should do, according to this author, who I happen to agree with, is hire Shane Black to direct it. Because him with Arnold would just be like, yet again, a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these Deadpool as a comic is basically created off of his movies anyway. You know, and that like, 80s sort of uber violence and dark comedy, so it just seems like a healthy fit, and it seems like a good way to make lemonade out of the lemons that we've kind of been dealt here, you know.
Well, there was a report from last weekend that David Leitch, the John Wick director was the front runner to be the new Deadpool director.
Hmm. Well, that would certainly be interesting. He's not doing John Wick 2?
He is doing John Wick 2. So this would be like, this is...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not doing, did.
Yeah, John Wick 2 is done.
Yeah, done. So. That's been done for a while, yeah.
So, I mean, at least action-wise, it would be awesome, but...
Yeah, no, I'd give that a chance. I mean, really, I don't think they're going to, like, fuck up Deadpool.
And then,
you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Well, yeah, Deadline said, like, yeah, David Leitch is the frontrunner, but then also, like Drew Goddard and Magnus Martins were also in the running.
Okay. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like I said, it's going to take a lot to fuck up Deadpool. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know of one fan who's going to be like, oh my god, Tim Miller is interacting? Well, I'm not going to see that. You know? Like, he left because of creative differences? Well, count me out.
Well, I read that, like, so I think, I read an article today, but I forget, like, I think it was Ryan, like, Tim Miller wanted to make it, like, kind of, like, bigger and better, and, like, more... Like, because they're getting they're obviously getting like a way bigger budget. Yeah. And like, so you want to do like more stunts, more bigger action, like more special effects. And Ryan Reynolds wanted to keep it more still, like low, like kind of like,
gee, like the first one, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah, like he wanted to keep it like the same, like low key, like low stakes. Yeah, like
sign me up for that. You can certainly have like, you know, some more action and some more expensive shit happening, but it doesn't have to be the fucking like Dark Knight, you know what I mean, of like superhero sequels. In fact, I don't think it should be. I think they should just focus as hard as they can on making it as close to the first movie as possible in terms of like the things that made it good. The comedy, the writing, obviously, you know, just the over the top nature of the violence. Just focus on that. Bigger is not always better.
Yeah, so we'll have to definitely keep an eye on that one as well. and some other sequel news. Apparently, we're probably not going to get a Turtles 3 of the current like Michael Bay produced Turtles movies, because Out of the Shadows is going to be pretty not as disaster, but a pretty big bomb. Like, it didn't make nearly as much money as they wanted. Even though it was like leagues better than the first movie. But yeah, so like, so they're probably not going to do a third movie in that series. They might like kind of like lay low for a little bit, then maybe do like an animated movie later on, or like a reboot or something. But the current like roided out Michael Bay turtles are probably done.
I'm fine with that. And, you know, like, it's nice that they actually had Bebop and Rocksteady, but after that, now it's like, well, now what?
Rat King! Or, like,
at least giving a Shredder that I can understand, like, that he's an old guy or a young guy, but he can't be both.
And then we're also getting a sequel to London Has Fallen, so that's going to be the Blank Has Fallen trilogy is going to be a thing.
Angel Has Fallen.
Yes. Which is coming in, I think it's 2018. And Angel is the codename for Air Force One in this universe, so it's going to be...
Dun, dun, dun.
But this time, Mike Banning is the target, not the president.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
and, the, like... and the terrorists don't care if they blow up Washington, D.C. in the process.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm trying to think, like, is it him teaming up with someone else, or is it just going to be him fighting everyone?
Gerard Butler doesn't team up, like, Gerard Butler doesn't team up with anybody.
Himself.
So I'm assuming based on the title, like, Air Force One's going to crash at some point, and the press is going to be on it, and then, like, Gerard Butler's going to have to rescue Ryan Eckhart again.
What a bitch-ass president.
And then do a bunch of, like, and then stab a bunch of people in the head.
Problems.
Give a really weird, a pro-American speech on camera.
Yes, 100%.
I didn't mind that. That was a so over-the-top American speech of like, never give up, never surrender.
It's like, you can't stop America, baby.
I'm ready to die.
But yeah, I'm definitely on board for that series, just because like it's like our only big screen like 80s action movie franchise that we have. Like it's 100% a throwback to like the 80s action movies. Like does not give a shit. It's R rated. Like super American. Like
it knows what it's doing.
Yeah. And then last bit news for this week is that we got confirmation that the Punisher Netflix show is coming sometime next year. They didn't give an exact date yet, but they said 2017. And I'm going to assume it's between Iron Fist and Defenders, so probably like the summer next year.
That's not really news, which is terrible, unfortunately. Like, hey, guess what? That Punisher show you kids like? It's coming.
Yeah.
All right. When? Soon.
Yep.
Real soon.
Keep an eye on Netflix. And
don't touch that dial, sexy teens. What? Nothing.
And then also, Defenders is in full force right now. They're shooting that. That's gonna be fall next year. It's only gonna be 8 episodes.
Oh. 8 2-hour episodes.
Which well, I don't mind. I'm on board for like because I feel like. Most of the shows have, like, probably all the shows have kind of like, they haven't had 13 episodes worth of story. Like, they kind of, like, dragged it out. Right. All of them have been dragged out. Like, get, like, a solid 8 episodes. If it works for Defenders, like, translate that to, like, the rest of the shows. Like, have Daredevil Season 3 be, like, 10 episodes or 8 episodes?
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
But yeah, so speaking of Netflix Marvel shows, we can probably roll into Show and Tell. And I believe we've all finally finished Luke Cage. I know I did, and Chris did, like, seconds before this podcast started.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you finished weeks ago.
For a while, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Jesus. So we can finally talk about spoilers.
It took me a week, and I thought I was slow. I was like, oh, man, I really need to watch Luke Cage.
Yeah. Why well, I just that was my project for last weekend. I was just like, I need to finish this. So I just like, I don't know, 8 episodes in a row or something.
I am going to sit down and I'm going to watch this fucking show whether I like it or not.
Oh, I did like it. Like, it's probably...
No, I know.
I would probably put it second overall.
Yeah?
Like, I would put maybe Daredevil season 1 and then... Well, I'm trying to think. It's tough because, like, Daredevil season 2, that the first arc is so good with the Punisher, and then it kind of, like, loses itself a little bit. So it's like, if I could just do, like, the Punisher arc of Daredevil season 2, like, that's the best so far.
If you look at that as Punisher season 0,
yeah,
I mean, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. But yeah, Luke Cage is awesome. Like, I think like most of the shows, like the beginning is a lot stronger than the end.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, but like, definitely like Cottonmouth is definitely like a way more interesting villain than Diamondback. especially when they kill Cottonmouth, it's just like, welp.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, that was really upsetting. He was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was staying around longer. I thought it was a nice twist, but the fallout was even weirder. Where I was like, oh, like, I thought his cousin would be, like, a henchwoman, like, she would get powers or something. Then it's like, nope. Here comes Diamondback.
I'm just crazy. That's my thing. I'm crazy.
I'm also your brother. Yeah. This is a black thing? Yeah, no.
I'm from the street.
First, he's like, nigga, I am your brother. And I was like a real brother? Or just something? Am I missing something?
And Luke, or like comrade.
And, like, Luke was, Luke was even sure. He's like, what?
Huh? He's like, yeah, no, we're all brothers. He's like, no, stupid, I'm your actual brother. Right. No, I... What? What
are Harlem we talking Pride. About? I get it.
You see, your daddy and my mama...
Yeah.
The thing is, Diamondback was super efficient the first time, and after that it gets worse. Like, he gets more and more, like, comically, like, terrible.
He gets more insane, just like, whatever.
He gets more insane, but
his hubris is just like, I beat Luke Cage. It's like, no, he's still alive. I beat Luke Cage.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. His hubris gets really crazy because the first time, it was just him.
He's got him by himself,
with his gun, took him on, almost killed him. Second time around, he gets away. Right. Third time around, he puts on a power band suit that, like, does nothing.
Yeah, that was so fucking bizarre.
That final battle was...
Was terrible. It was Rocky V.
Everyone just, like, yelled, like, cheering them on, and, like, no one doing anything to, like, stop them or help them or anything, and then, like,
cops are there
just like, whatever.
Either be realistic or, like...
They're filming it and just be like, look at this shit happening.
This is wacky, right? Black-on-black crime? I guess because it was, like, a commentary on black-on-black crime, because no one's, like, caring, you know? Like, maybe, is that it? Is that the joke? I don't...
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's either, if this is grounded in reality, I'd be like a concerned neighbor going like, hey, it's 4 a.m. Go ahead and try and get some fucking sleep, right? Go for that angle where like the neighbor was like, that's my car. You're fighting a fight on, you assholes. Or go for the extreme Marvel thing where like fucking people are clapping and cheering and someone has got like bootleg shirts at the fight. You know, like go for that one.
People have signs and stuff.
Yeah, someone had time to go to Kinko's and print out a poster, like, yeah. give me that, like, but it was in that in between where it started dancing around the edge of just like crazy because the cops are just watching this fight and it's like, well, we have a known fugitive and we also have like a power man, like fucking robot man, whose vulnerability is his helmet. You can still shoot him in the mouth, like he's not bulletproof in the face.
And you guys have guns that are like have like a clip full of like crazy bullets that like
armor-piercing bullets that can kill like a lot of things, and they don't use it on any of those guys. Like the bullets designed to take down people that are in front of them doing proper damage.
Yeah,
and the SWAT team just like, well, I guess we'll wait until like it's over, then we'll start firing.
Because Misty Knight was like, everyone, hold on a second, let them work it out.
Yeah, let the brothers, like, and it's funny because, like,
they're working
the brothers
things out. Let them work it out.
The thing is, they're having a fight conversation, and everyone on the street can hear them.
Yep.
Like, they're like, oh, he's talking about your mom? Shut the fuck up, stranger.
So yeah, so that was pretty bad. But then, if you flash back to, like, earlier, like when like Luke attacks like the like the money Christmas house and stuff, like yeah, like everything when like Luke was just like fucking like Shaft with like superpowers in the beginning was like that was fucking amazing. Like there's like the montages of like Luke just like walking around just like solving random crimes. To that amazing score.
It's a really like certain sections don't feel like dead zones, but just like now and then it's that problem with trying to add in fluff and character and development that like you just don't care because you're like I can they have really good dialogue, so I don't need to see like fluff scenes where it's just like they're like yelling at each other. It's a lot of him like not being called like. What's is Carl? You know, he's like Carl Luke. Like it's just like come on. And then halfway through, he just forgets about his wife. He also forgets about Jessica Jones.
He finds out his wife was like a lying, like crazy scientist.
And he's like, "Well, I'm over her now."
Yeah, I'm over her. Sup, Rosario Dawson.
Want to get coffee?
Yeah, I will say this is probably the best Claire show, or the best use of Claire in the Netflix universe so far.
I just feel like Claire keeps falling in love with a lot of people. Like, I'm surprised she's not going to fall in love with Jessica Jones, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you hang out with her for more than a day, she's going to, like, fall in love with you.
If she has to give you, like, medical assistance, like...
If she's gotta, like, rub alcohol wipes on you and, like, complain about you being a hero, then the next few moments she'd be like, you want to hang out?
Yeah.
Like...
No, she's gonna be there for you, and then you're gonna bang her, or try to bang her, and then she's gonna totally lose interest in you and try to come off like she hates you. And she doesn't need anyone, because she's tough and she's from the streets.
She's a tough Cuban.
And she's gonna learn karate from Iron Fist's sidekick next year.
Yeah, probably.
That's what they set up. Like, she took a last scene of her is like taking like that like telephone number from that poster, and the poster is for a martial arts class taught by Colleen Wing,
mm-hmm.
who is gonna be like Iron Fist's love interest next year. She's also like a martial artist, and she also like in the comics formed like this crazy like girl like private investigation company slash like martial arts group with like Misty Knight and other people.
So she's the Charlie's Angels.
It's pretty much martial arts Charlie's Angels in the Marvel universe.
Oh no, actually, I see what happens later with Misty Knight. It basically becomes VIP, where it's like everyone's wearing fucking skin tight like jumpsuits.
Well, in the comics, like Misty Knight is basically like Foxy Brown with a cyborg arm.
Yeah, she loses her arm. She has a bro.
Yeah,
that's another thing. So, do you think they're gonna do the Luke Cage and Jessica Jones hookup, where it's like I have your baby, or it's like nah?
We'll find out in Defenders.
I know, but I'm like, I like the concept of super pregnancy because it's so they don't show it often, so it's really cool to see like, oh, like they have to deal with like real life situations, but in a fantasy kind of like rules where it's like, okay, like we're having this baby and like my super strong stomach could like is still bulletproof, so it can still fight crime.
Well, they didn't like was it last year or like. Was it Spider-Woman or something? Was, like, insanely pregnant? Still fighting crime?
Spider-Woman. Yeah, she got pregnant. And then just like, well, I still got to do patrols. We're like, I guess.
Yeah.
Same thing with Black Canary. She got pregnant. And then she went on... She fought people. From DC.
Oh, I did like going back to Luke Cage. I thought like the connections to like the larger MCU plus like Netflix universe was like the best so far. Like, I love the fact that like everything that all the tech that got stolen was like Justin Hammer tech.
Yep, I do like that too.
And that one kid on the street is like selling like bootlegs of like the Avengers Final Battle.
It's the one in New York though, right? They're
showing. I really think they need like a after Defenders. I think they really need like a time jump to like get them to like at least post Civil War, because like it feels so ancient at this point of like they're still talking about like Amanda. It's the incident that happened and, like a few weeks ago. It's like that was 4 years ago, bro.
Yeah, the Avengers fucking did way more after Shield, that. There was Shield, robots.
Shield like got disbanded and then brought back. Like it's like.
Get some new tapes, kid.
Yeah, it just puts them in. It just makes them feel like a little bit out of date with what's happening elsewhere. The only thing they're talking about is like the alien invasion of New York when we've had like five crazy things happen since then. But yeah, like Luke Cage, definitely. If you haven't watched yet, go check that out because it's awesome. And then get ready for Iron Fist, Punisher, Defenders next year. So, Chris, you and I also saw Ouija, Origin of Evil.
Ouija, yeah.
While we were in Austin for MondoCon, we saw it at the Alamo Draft House.
And I would say, Ouija is such a weird marketing thing, because it's like, is this promoting me to go buy a Ouija board, or just throw it into the fire?
I would not buy a Ouija board after seeing one of these movies, because like you're gonna summon like freaking like Polish like Nazi war criminal victims to like possess your children.
You're gonna summon Doug Jones.
Yeah, like evil Nazi Doug Jones to like take over your body or whatever.
Who like you know like we watched that and we're like, what is the monster? It's like, is it multiple ghosts or is it one ghost? We still don't know. There's still like a rough copy of the movie that exists that
well, there's a scene, in the trailer that shows like human Doug Jones that's not in the movie. Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to see that version.
Maybe that's Ouija 3, Chris, even further back, like World War II era. Because Origin of Evil is in the 60s.
Right. So like, is it doing Origins?
Yeah. True Origins. But yeah, I know. I didn't see the first movie. I know you saw the first movie, and
you don't have to see it.
No, like, yeah. I feel like you can just watch this one, and it stands alone as its own thing. And you said it was like this one's like a quantum leap above the first movie. Right, Chris?
Yep. This is like it's scarier to some degree. Like I actually understand like. I like the characters. They're not all assholes.
Like acting wise, they're not like annoying millennials who are just like in their friend's house who killed herself. Like,
OMG, I'm being chased by a ghost.
Yeah, I need to take a selfie of this. Yeah, hashtag Ghost Ouija. Like,
it wasn't as annoying.
And it also has like an actual actual horror director, like Mike. I think it's Mike Flanagan who directed. That movie Hush that's on Netflix that you see all the time, like the one with like the that's like Don't Breathe, but not, where it's like the blind woman is being stalked by like, the guy in the house.
Oh,
and also more people have probably heard of Oculus, which I think is awesome. I don't know, have you seen Oculus, Chris?
Yeah, I didn't like it that much, but I understand it. Like, the mirror, I got it, but I'm just like, alright, it wasn't as what I thought it would be.
I love, in Oculus, I love the constant, just, like, you're never sure what the hell's, like, you're never sure what is actually going on. Like, it always keeps you, like, on the edge of, like, is this real? No? Is this real? No? Is the past interacting with the future now? I don't know what's going on, but it's awesome. The one scene in Oculus where, like, Karen Gillan is, like, eating an apple, and then it turns to, like, a light bulb, and then it turns back into an apple, I was just like, that was, like, when She takes a bite and it's like, you think it's a light bulb, and it's like, oh my god. But yeah, so actual competent director helps along, because like the guy directed Ouija One, like the first Ouija, like I think his only other thing was like he co-wrote Knowing, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh boy.
And that was like Ouija was his first directing job.
And it feels like it.
Yeah.
Very amateurish and very I didn't like any of the actors.
Yeah. But I mean this one like style wise it looks great. Like there's like the 60s style really helped. Like I mean it's obviously like trying, it's obviously ripping off The Conjuring a tad.
Yep.
But like it's definitely like it lends like a gravitas to everything that's be set in the 60s, like that style and stuff.
I guess.
And like there's like if it seems like they like put like they actually like added like a little bit of like just like kind of like film like if like film grainy stuff to like make it feel more like it was like actually in the 60s. There's like errors and splotches and stuff that show up a little bit. And like the opening credits like very like 60s.
Oh, that part, yeah. But that's just credits. The actual movie itself about the 60s and like church is like a big thing and like communities cared about like other people's businesses.
Yeah.
So that, I got that, but I was like, wow, you're so dead, father. Like, the father was like really interested in this creepy daughter and is just like, well, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Super dead.
But yeah, it's a solid, if you want like a solid horror movie, like definitely if you got burned by the first movie, like don't like this one is it's a purge to purge anarchy situation where like
this is
what the first one should have been.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. This is exactly what it is oh, forget about the first one, just watch the second one and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Because you could probably like the first movie doesn't like this. There was no like burning questions of the first movie that need to get answered by this one. I don't think, right? It was just like because the only thing that this answers from the first movie is like who the ghosts were in the first movie.
Yep. The first one, you're just like, what's this ghost? It's just a ghost. Okay. And now it's like the ghost was actually like many ghosts.
Yeah.
Or one ghost. But that's the only thing. Now just I got more questions about the first ghost.
Well, the first movie wasn't, like, spoiler, wasn't it Doris in the first movie?
Well, you think it's the girl.
Yeah.
Then this one's, like, the girl is actually another ghost. It's like she's a Russian doll, basically, full of ghosts.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't know which one is, because the Doris spirit's gone, but then there's a spirit that took the form of Doris, and then it's like, well, who's that then? And it's like, oh, the doctor? And like,
yeah.
Who's the doctor then? Like, it just gets more and more complex. You're like, okay, fine. Well, I'll take it what it is.
There was like a Nazi doctor who experimented on people, like Polish people, I guess, or something, and buried them in the walls, and now they're looking for revenge. That's why they took over Doris.
But I thought that was the doctor's spirit. It was in... Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know anymore. From my understanding,
Because Doris writes in notebook, like, she writes the Polish notebook, and it's, like, an account of, like, one of the victims. So I think the victim, like, at least one of the victims took over Doris, and now they're basically getting revenge for, like, what happened to them because of the Nazi doctor.
But the revenge makes no sense to the family because it's just like, well, you live here. That's why we're torturing you.
Yeah, I think there's dicks now because they got killed by a Nazi. And they went insane in the wall. They went insane in the dark.
I guess. But, like, that's not implied from the movie. The movie just seems like creepy events and then...
Well, when like, Henry Thomas, like, reads, like, the... Like, there's like, a five-minute scene where, like, Henry Thomas, like, reading the entire diary. That's where you get all the backstory.
That's like the last 5 minutes of the movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think it did well. So there might be another Ouija coming soon. So,
oh boy, the Ouija franchise.
So what else did you see, Chris, besides Ouija and Luke Cage over the last week or so here?
Not much. I saw that, Luke Cage, and season 2 of Flash. I'm still trying to catch up through. I'm like halfway through it. So, trying to catch up for that season 3.
Yep. It started out pretty terrible, but it's slowly coming back to like regular Flash style, so.
I heard that. I gotta see why, because season 2 is pretty good. Like, they kind of understood the stride, but now I'm like, this version of Dr. Wells is kind of like a dickhead, so I'm like, ah. Let's see what happens to him.
Oh, Harry?
Yep. Because it's like the alternate dimension one
Earth,
that shows
Earth
up.
Earth 2 Harry?
And he's like trying to save his daughter yeah. with Zoom. So, let's see what happens with that one.
It definitely, like, Arrow, Flash, like, they should be, if they were 13 episodes or, like, 14 episodes, they would be really good. I think that, like, this is a 24, they just get bogged down in, like, filler, especially in, like, the middle. Like, if you're halfway through, like, you got some filler episodes coming up.
Oh, boy.
Because they usually have a like Arrow and Flash especially have like a really good like opening arc, and then like the middle is just kind of like set up for like the end, and the end is good. So it's just like the middle is just like things happening, random bad guys, flashbacks. Like, oh, we're stuck in a building for an episode. Like. But, yeah, as far as what I've been watching, I watched a bunch of stuff. Since our Toxic Avenger commentary went up on Halloween on Monday, you can check that out right now on the site. I also watched, to go along with it, I watched the first episode of Toxic Crusaders. Because Troma also put, like, the entire, only has, like, one season, but the entire season's on Troma's YouTube page, along with like pretty much all their movies for free. So it's actually the one thing that like that struck me was like it's very like self-aware of like how ridiculous it is that it's like it seems like it's like it knows that like this the idea of like turning Toxic Avenger into a kids cartoon is insanity, and so it just embraces the insanity and like kind of like it breaks the fourth wall all the time, and it's like everyone's sort of like self-aware that it's a cartoon.
That's cool, but they also understand like it's PG like now.
Yeah, like oh, like yeah, like talk like so. The first episode is like a very like kid friendly version of like Toxie's origin, where like it's just like it's a wacky prank that the people at the gym pulled on him, and he like tripped into like this toxic waste that's outside the gym, and like his transformation is like there's like jokes where like he transforms first into like a school teacher and then like a Hollywood producer. And then he turns into Troxy.
Ugh. It's very PG too, which is like, yeah. Like no boobs.
Yeah, no, there's no random gym boobs. There's no like, horrific skin melting. It's just like, oh, I'm Troxy now. Am I mops alive? That's funny.
Ooh.
and then also Troxy gets like a. He basically gets spider sense, where like if something evil's happening nearby, he gets like a tingling sensation.
Well, that kind of was in the movie.
Was it?
Yeah, he could sense evil. That's why he crushed certain people to death.
But like in the cartoon, it's like a full on like spider sense. Like he flashes green. He's like, oh, something's happening. And then, in the cartoon, you have like Dr. Killamoff, who's the main villain, who is an alien insect creature who wants to like. He's here to like pollute the entire planet so that his species can come like live, because like they live in like a polluted atmosphere.
They live in garbage.
Yeah, and Tromaville is the last, town that's not polluted. So, like he's trying to turn it like the last dumping ground, and so that's why Toxie and like his and the Toxic Crusaders are like fighting against him to, like keep Tromaville clean. And then he has a henchman named Psycho. Who is, like, he's kind of, like, half robot. And the thing with Psycho is, like, every time Dr. Killamoff says something, or blatantly says, like, what his plan's gonna be, like, Psycho will say, like, how Toxie's gonna stop him, and then that happens in the cartoon, like, later on. Like, he'd be like, we need to go and, we need to attack Toxie where he lives, and it's like, well, that'll work if, like, he doesn't get help from someone. And then Toxie will get help from someone. Ooh. And so, and stop Killamoff's plan, and, like, Psycho will be like, told ya! And then, in the first episode, Toxie gets, like, two of the Crusaders show up, so, like, No Zone, who is, he's a pilot who flew into a silo of radioactive pepper and got, like, a giant nose, and can, like, he has, like, super powerful sneezes. And Major Disaster, who is a soldier who fell into a radioactive swamp and now is basically Swamp Thing. Like, he can control plants. So they just show up and, like, hey, we heard about this Toxie guy, and we're not seeing if he needs help. And it's like, Toxie's like, I'm Toxie! And, so they... And there's still two more members that, like, I guess join, like, later in later episodes. Like, there's, like, Junkyard, who's, like, a half dog, half hobo. And then Headbanger, who's, like, a surfer and a scientist, like, merged together.
I do not remember any of the Avengers besides him.
And then, they changed from the movie, they changed Toxie's girlfriend. So now, in the cartoon, he has a girlfriend named Yvonne, who is a, like, ditzy blonde accordion player who's just nearsighted, not blind.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, it was definitely more clever than I remember it being. So, I say if you're a Troma fan, check it out. It's because I mean it's free on YouTube, so you can go check it out. But yeah, there was like they were trying to make Toxic Crusaders like in turtles. Like they had figures, they had board games, they had toys, they had video games, the Nintendo game, they had like. So much extra Crusader stuff, and then, like, the show lasted, like, a year, and that was it.
I mean, it definitely got its time's worth of the spotlight, because it was a crazy fad for, like, 3 years, and then it kind of, like, it had to go.
Yeah.
It's still good. Like, the last two movies are not, like, you can't start people on that. You gotta ease them into it.
Yeah. So also on the TV front, I saw the first two episodes of Stand Against Evil, which is the new IFC show. It stars John C. McGinley, and it's basically the same premise as Ash vs. Evil Dead, but, so, like, the show is basically, like, it has pretty much no reason to exist. Like, it's like the, Costco version of Lucky Charms compared to, like, Ash vs. Evil Dead's, like, name brand version.
Right.
Like if there was no Ash vs. Evil Dead, like, this would be like, oh man, this show's like Evil Dead, it's so fun. but we actually have Evil Dead the show, so it's like, why watch this? I guess...
I mean, you need your Evil Dead fix.
According to, like, the producers, like, it was in development before Ash vs. Evil Dead got announced, but, I mean, it's still, like, they came out after, so it's like, you're gonna get paired to Ash vs. Evil Dead now, so...
That sucks.
I mean, it's not a bad show. It's not Ash vs. Evil Dead. Like, it just pales. Everything about it pales in comparison.
Right.
It's way less violent. So, like, I guess if you can't handle, like, the violence level of Ash vs. Evil Dead, I guess watch this one because it's less violent. And I mean, John C. McGinley is basically fun. Like, he's basically like a crotchetier older crotchetier version of Dr. Cox from Scrubs, as a small town sheriff. And the premise is basically that, like, there's this town, I think it's in, like, Minnesota or something. It's, like, somewhere, like, in the Midwest, or, like, is it Maryland? It might be New England, because, like, it's wherever this town is, they had, like, a sandwiched trial level history, except Salem killed like 20 witches and this town killed like 172 witches,
you know, for the record.
Yeah. So and then like the, then Witches that got burned, like, basically cursed, like, the sheriffs, the constables, but then the sheriffs of the town. So, like, every sheriff except Johnson McGinley, Stan, died horribly and quickly in office. And then it turns out, like, when the first episode starts, like Stan's wife died, or it's just died, and it turns out, like, that she was, like, secretly, like, fighting off demons and protecting him. But now she's dead, so, like, it's Stan's, like, by himself now, like, with all these witches targeting him. And then there's a new sheriff who shows up, who's played by Janet Varney, who I think, she's been in a bunch of stuff. I think she's probably best known, like, she was the voice of Korra in Legend of Korra. But, yeah, she's the new sheriff, and then she shows up and, like, is the target of these witches, too. So now, like, Stan, this new the new sheriff, has to team up to, like, fight these witches.
Oh, is he retired?
He retired, because at his wife's funeral, he saw, like, one of these witches, like, taunting him. So, he basically, to, like, everyone else in the funeral, like he saw, like, a witch, but, like, everyone else saw him, like, punching an old lady in the face. So he basically had, like, he had to retire because of that. So it's just like, Stan, stop, you're punching an old lady in the face.
Yeah, I could see where this is like almost Evil Dead borderline. You're right, if Evil Dead never cack or had like a year apart, Stan Against Evil might
have
been it.
If we didn't have Ash of Evil Dead, like people would probably watch Stan Against the Evil and be like, oh man, this is great. This is like if we got an Evil Dead show. But it's like we do have an Evil Dead show. And it's crazy and amazing. So it's like, this is just like, it has no reason to exist. It's just like,
it's out of place.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not bad, but it's just like, why would you watch this when you have like the actual thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like why, more. It's if you like more
like,
of this.
It's like if you have Coke and you have like Sam's Club Coke or something like Walmart Coke. Like, why would you drink that instead of Coke?
Again, if you want it more,
yeah. I mean, more of the same. I mean, yeah. I guess if you don't mind having like super similar shows, like I would say check it out. Or I think most of the IFC shows show up on Netflix eventually, so. Maybe like next year when the season's done, check it out on Netflix. But yeah, so I watched that, and then also I saw the first episode of season 3 Black Mirror, so I just started diving into that.
Still on. Where I got marathon at all?
Did you like what did you see? Season 1, season 2, like...
I saw season 1, like, the first few, and then didn't finish all of it when I was, like, sober.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would watch it when I was kind of drunk.
Okay.
And I don't remember any of it. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, definitely watch season 2. The last episode of season 2 is probably the weakest episode of Black Mirror ever. But the Christmas special is amazing. So White Christmas, which is, like, it's, like, season 2.5, or, like... the last episode of season 2. It's got John Hamm in it. It's amazing. I rewatched that because my dad hadn't seen White Christmas, so we watched that, and then the first episode of Nosedive. Or the first episode of season 3, which is called Nosedive. But yeah, so definitely check out Black Mirror if you haven't seen it. But yeah, that first episode of season 3 is pretty great. It's a lot funnier than like normal Black Mirror because Michael Schur, who created Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Good Place, co-wrote it along with like Rashida Jones also co-wrote it. So like they wrote it with Charlie Brooker, who created the show. So it's got this really, really great like dark sense of humor for the whole episode, and it's this really scary, like extremely plausible future where like everything you do is like basically everyone has a personal like Yelp score essentially, and every interaction you have with people, they can rate you 1 to 5, and your rating determines like your social standing, and like if you're not high enough, you won't be able to like move to a certain place or like get a certain job or you have to be at a certain line at the airport. And it's basically like basically the episode is like Bryce Dallas Howard is she's like a 4.2 and she's trying to like get to like a 4.5, and then like her old friend from childhood calls and like wants her to be like her maid of honor, and her friend's like a 4.8 or something. So Bryce Dallas Howard's like, oh man, if I do an amazing maid of honor speech, I'll get like a ton of like super high rank people to give me 5 stars, and I'll get my super high rating. And then if you can, then based on the title, like things quickly go downhill.
You know, I feel like a lot of the shows are like the folly of technology, the problem about like points. Because I remember that was they had an episode like this in
second episode of season one, which is like I think it's called, the episode's like 15 million merits. It was it's basically like it was this horrible future where like everyone just like has like Xbox Live points, and you have to earn like points by like
exercising,
riding a bike to like power like this like vague society, and like you have to like but the points you use, you have to use points for everything.
Yep. So that's the thing. I'm like, it's either like a point system, or it's something about like be careful what you wish for when it comes to like it's usually those three elements.
Yeah, well,
Black Mirror.
It's kind of like Twilight Zone, like morality, like be careful what you wish for, mixed with like super relevant, like this could happen technology. Well, I think it's like the third. It's at least the third episode too of like Black Mirror, where like there's like an eye implants. Like Black Mirror thinks eye implants are like definitely happening at some point. Like.
They're pushing that agenda, yeah. Fearing them.
Because, like, in Nosedive, like, everyone has eye implants that, like, let them see. Like, if you look at someone, you'll be able to, like, you get to see their name and their score. And then, like, you can, like, look on your phone and see that person. So, like, if you, like, and that's how, like, that's basically how everyone, like, ranks each other. So, like, if you go to, like, a coffee shop and you get your coffee, the guy who gives you your coffee ranks you as a customer, and then you rank them as how you enjoyed the interaction, and the, like, or even if you just like see someone on like the street and you say hi to them, if you don't like the way they say hi to you, you can give them like 1 star. so it's like Yelp. Yelp has invaded everything. Like, but then you also have like a traditional like Facebook feed. So like everyone's like trying to like craft like these like very specific like pictures to, like get enough like. Get a bunch of, like, five stars and stuff. And there's professional analysts, who will tell you how to, like, get a higher ranking by, like, analyzing, like, your current performance. It's a really, they do a great job, like, fleshing out, like, this, like, insane world that is, like, horrifically possible. So yeah,
it seems interesting. Like I just gotta have time to watch it.
Yeah, so definitely check it out, and then I'm gonna definitely try to dive into the rest of the season 3, sometime soon here. And then as far as other movies, I watched a bunch on the flight to and from Austin a couple weeks ago. So I saw Code of Silence, which is I would say B level Chuck Norris movie. It's definitely a Chuck Norris deeper cut. Directed by Andrew Davis, who also directed like pretty much all the, I think every Seagal movie starting from the beginning to Under Siege. Like I'm pretty sure he directed like Above the Law and like Mark for Death and Out for Justice and that's what like Code of Silence feels like, those movies. Where it's basically like Chuck Norris is a Chicago cop who gets basically drawn. There's like a gang war breaks out because like this one gang, attacks a drug deal and steals all this like cocaine. It's not like the Italian mob is like pissed, is like trying to get revenge, and like it's just like this like escalated gang war, and Chuck Norris is in the middle because like this renegade cop. Yeah, it definitely feels like it feels like you could put Seagal in there and like it would basically be the same exact movie, because it feels 100% like Above the Law or like Out for Justice or something.
Well, didn't it come out like the late 80s, this movie?
I think it was like 83 maybe or something. Like I think it was early 80s. Oh, 85, so. Yeah, the only weird thing about it though is that so Chris, like, he directed, like, Andrew Davis directed this one, then he directed Above the Law a few years after. So Chuck Norris, and then he went on like the Steven Seagal run.
Mm.
But yeah, so yeah, it feels like Above the Law, except what if for some reason Above the Law there was like a robot.
Robot guy too.
Because like yeah, just completely inexplicably, there's like they introduce in like the beginning of Code of Silence, they introduce like this police robot that no one uses for the entire movie until like Chuck Norris steals it at the end of the movie to like using like his like big climactic like raid against like the evil drug lord. But just like, why is there a robot? Like it's like if in Out for Justice, like Steven Seagal like brought in a robot at the end to like fight Richie or something. It's like just it's completely like extraneous, like everything else is going on. Oh, there's also like this weird subplot where like it's actually like weirdly relevant to like what's going on right now, but like there's this subplot of like this old like Irish cop like shoots like an unarmed teenager like during like the like opening drug raid and like plants evidence on him that like he's like, oh yeah, he had a gun. And so there's this whole like subplot of like there's like this hearing to like if it, like to figure out what happened during this during the shooting.
Okay.
What makes it even weirder is, like, there's, like, the cop who shot, like, this, like, old Irish cop is, like, the same guy who is in, like, Home Alone, and, like, those, like, the movie within the movie. The Angel with Filthy Souls guy.
He's actually in it?
Yeah, he's the cop who shoots, like, this kid. So it's like, hey, it's that guy. It's, like, Merry Christmas, You Filthy Animal. Like, it's that guy. I didn't know he was in any other
movie. I don't know anything else, like I said.
Yeah. But it's definitely a deep cut like Chuck Norris movie. Like I don't. it's for Chuck Norris aficionados, I would say. It's not a good like introductory Chuck Norris movie. And then I also saw Elvis and Nixon, which came out, I think about last year or like earlier this year. I think that, yeah, it was earlier this year, but it was on Amazon Instant Video because it's an Amazon movie, like Amazon backed that movie. So of course it's going to be on their streaming site. It's pretty much what I expected from the trailer, which is just like a fun little like goofy, like, it's a retelling of like the time Elvis met President Nixon, because Elvis wanted to become like a federally licensed agent. And it's just like telling like what like it's these couple days where like Elvis showed up in Washington D.C. and was like, I want to be a federal agent. I want to be the president. Like, let's do this. Like,
well, didn't he say like this was as funny as he thought it'd be? Like every joke is cut basically from the trailer.
It's definitely a comedy, but like there's definitely like I think more like. Not all of it's in the trailer, I don't think. Like, and like, just over like the overall like performances, like Michael Shannon as Elvis is like the least convincing Elvis of all time. But also like it's like
it's the lazy Elvis.
It's like it's also like pretty hilarious. Just like when you like like Elvis is like almost like he reminded me of like Steven Seagal, sort of like where it's just like lawman Steven Seagal, where it's just like, yeah, I'm a real cop. I want to be a real cop. Like just seem like Elvis is like just like he has like a he basically has like a monologue like toward like the end of the movie where he's just like telling President Nixon why he wants like why he wants to be like a federal agent. He's just like he wants like it, like he sees like drugs like affecting like the young people that are his fans, and he's just like, I want to infiltrate like hippie rings and like stop hippies from like selling drugs and like. Because like hippies are like one step away from communism and stuff. It's like he goes on this like crazy rant about like why him becoming a federal agent would like save America.
He's like, I'm gonna take all the drugs and put them in me. Well, he did save someone. Yeah.
And then Kevin Spacey as Nixon is also like the least convincing Nixon in movie history, but it's just like fun like. Crotchety, like sort of House of Cardsy, like Kevin Spacey, just being like silly, like being like, I like this guy. this Elvis character's okay.
Wasn't at one point he's just like, get out of my house, please, thief.
Where's this great like just before he goes to see the president, like there's this part where like Colin Hanks, who's like Nixon's like main advice, like. Assistant or something is like explaining like what not to do, like there's gonna be a Dr. Pepper on the table that's only for the president. There's gonna be a bowl of M&Ms that's only for the president. And Elvis goes in and like immediately just sits down, like opens the Dr. Pepper and starts drinking it, like eating the M&Ms. And Nixon's just like, what the fuck is happening right now?
But see, I saw that from the trailer.
Yeah.
Like I said. That's exactly what I saw, and I'm like, is the movie any better than that?
It's a fun light, you're not gonna learn like deep truths about Nixon or Elvis in the movie, but like
it's not Frost versus Nixon.
No. if you just want a fun look at this wacky thing that happened one time.
Yeah, but I feel like it could have been like an SNL skit.
Well, there's some fun stuff with like the build up, like how they had to like wrangle this meeting, cause like Nixon was just like, "Fuck no, I'm not meeting Elvis." Like, are you guys crazy? So there's a little bit of like finagling between like Nixon's assistants, cause Nixon's assistants wanted Elvis to show up because it'd be good for like Nixon like some cred with the young people, and Elvis's people wanted it to happen because like they're like Elvis's friends, so it's like this like there's a little bit like wrangling between like before the meeting of like they had like what if we did this, what if we meet at this time, like what if Elvis did this, like
what if we I do feel that? Like this is like a lazy version of The Walk or the whatever the one with Justin Gordon-Levitt has like to like cross the Twin Towers.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, instead of the high risk of crossing a wire, it's just like, let's just meet the president.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely worth checking out. Like, it's not, like if you just want, like, a fun movie to watch, like, a fun movie to watch in the afternoon, like, it's definitely worth checking out. And then, last movie is, I saw, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. The
original?
Yeah, well, the Steve Martin... Michael Caine classic, which I think one of the podcasts I listened to talked about it recently. So it was on Amazon Instant Video, so I was able to download it to my tablet, which Netflix needs to do that soon because that's like that is a like godsend for like planes, like going on a plane trip. Like just I downloaded like three movies and it was like they're on your tablet, like you can just. No Wi-Fi in the plane, just watch the movies that are downloaded. And then they just go away after you watch them. So, definitely points advantage Amazon on that front. But yeah, so yeah, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is like a fun con artist movie. Like, it doesn't seem like Michael Caine and Steve Martin would work as like a comedic duo, but they do. Because Michael Caine's like a perfect straight man, like Steve Martin's insanity. It's fun that movie is just like seeing them like one up each other every time. Like Michael Caine he was thinking like he finally got rid of Steve Martin, and Steve Martin will just show up again. Because Michael Caine will pull some sort of con to like get Steve Martin out of like his like the French village that he lives in, and then Steve Martin will figure it out and just come back with like an even crazier con, like get back at Michael Caine.
Oh, they're dueling con men?
In the beginning, they are. Michael Caine, has this whole... he scams, very wealthy women. he pretends to be some sort of, royalty of this, country fighting, an oppressive government or something. He's escaped royalty that needs, money to, fund his people. And so, he cons these women to, fund his, rebellion, basically. But then Steve Martin is just like this, like he's like scams the women of like my grandma's sick. Can I get some money for dinner? So Michael Caine's stealing thousands of dollars of jewelry and like cash, and like Steve Martin's getting like $20 for like a dinner. And so, it starts out Steve Martin's like wants Michael Caine to, like teach him how to be like a upper class con man. So this whole, the first part of the movie is, Michael Caine teaching Steve Martin how to be, a gentleman and, a gentleman con man. And then the bulk of the movie is, they eventually get annoyed with each other and make this bet of, the first person, they basically pick a woman, and then the first one they, scam, I think it was, $5,000 from her, wins the bet, and the other person has, leave this village. So basically, the rest of the movie is them trying compete with each other, get this woman give them money, and Steve Harvey tends to be this this wheelchair bound veteran, and then Michael Caine is this Austrian doctor and stuff. It just gets more and more crazy.
I always see the cover. It used to be on TV a couple times, but now it's you don't see it too often.
Oh, it's great. It's a great fun 80s con movie. When they're actually working together, Steve Martin pretends to be Michael Caine's bizarre brother. so that's the new scam, get rid of these women is have them meet Steve Martin. He's just this crazy mentally challenged man child. It's it's my brother. He's it's my beloved brother. He's gonna live with us. And it's just Steve Martin just they're at dinner, and he's just can I go to the bathroom? And McCain's sure. And it's Steve Martin just sitting there at the table, just being all right, I'm done. Then, whichever woman is there, just what? So yeah, actually, definitely check that one out too. It's a classic.
They don't really team up too often, Steve Martin and Michael Caine.
That was it, probably.
Yeah, that was it.
You don't see Michael Caine in full-on comedy all that much either.
Very few.
But yeah, so that's it for me. So I think we can wrap this thing up for the week. Was there anything else you think of we need to talk about, Chris?
I think we're caught up.
I think we're caught up from our week 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely head over to the site. We have our Toxic Avenger commentaries up there. Also, our report from MondoCon 3 is up on the site. Toxic Crusader review features up there as well. So a bunch of stuff on the site to go check out, and all of our regular stuff's up there as well. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/EVAction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Store and Stitcher.com.